I'm going to be using artificial intelligence to introduce Gary Kroger. Here we go, Gary. One, two, three, Gary Kroger.
That was artificial intelligence?
Yeah, well, we haven't worked out all the kinks. See, it was artificial intelligence.
All right, so you just counted me in. One, two, three, and here I am. Welcome to the Gary and Kenny Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Gary Kroger in Waterloo, Iowa, and I am joined, as always, by...
Ken Seisler, somewhere in Calabasas, California.
Somewhere in Calabasas, California.
Do you know who died?
OJ died. OJ died.
Yeah. And this is what OJ. I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
If the coffin doesn't fit, you must cremate.
you must cremate. Oh, not bad. Oh, who is this voice that we hear joining us, Kenny?
Well, let's bring him out. John?
That sounds to me like the
why
voice.
Why were you not a VJ, Ken Seisler?
Yeah, really. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, let's do a deep dive, but let me introduce you, Mark. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Goodman, a storied career, a television personality, a radio personality, an actor. As most people know, he burst onto the television screen as one of the original VJs on MTV back in the early 80s, and now he has been doing cruises, all sorts of things. He has a new
podcast.
That's
the first thing you mentioned is the cruises?
I love the cruise angle. Very big cruise audience, Mark.
Okay, all right.
I just went on a cruise. It would have given anything for you and Hunter to be there. But anyway, you also have a new podcast called Sound Up that we want to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Mark Goodman.
Well, thank you.
I've known for since 1981 when we both were at MTV. And I can't
that's
even
a
do
good
math
place to start.
Tell you how long ago that was, but it was a long time ago. Yes, indeed.
You know what? 43 years?
43 years. And here's an amazing thing that I'll tell you. I think, and we just lost somebody very, very dear to me, and we're going to dedicate this show to Gail Sparrow, who was, as somebody put it, the heartbeat, the heart and soul of the original channel. And she was in charge of talent and artist relationships, artist and talent relations. And she was an incredible personality. We all loved her.
She was like 4 foot nothing, but huge personality, huge. Yeah. And really like you're saying, Kenny, she was a firecracker. She made everybody laugh. She knew everybody. She just hung out. She was great. She was just, and for people who are listening, if you want to see Gail Sparrow, go to the Billy Squire video. Christmas is the time to say I love you. It was the first Christmas video that we ever did at MTV.
I think I directed it.
Did you direct it? Gail shows up in a Santa suit, and she's bouncing around in a Santa suit.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mark, I first met you back then because I started doing SNL at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, though, you guys were rock stars. You know, I would go, and Alan Hunter and I became good friends. But I met you, and I think I even tried to date Martha at some point. You know, whatever.
Well, I'll get in line for that.
We did our share of MTV parodies and so on. But, you know, it was a real thrill to meet you then. And it's nice to see you. You're a little grayer today. Than that curly white man's afro that you used to sport.
Exactly. You can call it the Jufro. It's cool.
So,
I'm allowed to call it a Jufro.
Mark, you've been at Sirius Radio for how many years?
20 years.
So, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, you were, 20 years.
Yeah, okay. So
it's
that's
the longest job I've ever had.
Yeah, longer than
MTV. I guess so.
Oh, my God, MTV. MTV. Yeah. It was 1981 we launched. Excuse me. And the summer of 1987, I quit and I moved to L.A. and came back. They didn't want me to quit. And they,
I remember that time.
I came back once a month to do a week's worth of shows. So I was there. And then after that, I was just doing interviews and press conferences and stuff for them. I would host those things. So like through with like 89, I was there.
So now is yours, how many channels are on Sirius Radio?
Nobody knows.
They don't.
Wait, on the dial itself, there's about 125. But now we have what's called the app-only channels. And so that means all in, as I understand it, we have on the order of 750 channels.
Wow.
Because there's a ton on the app, like every imaginable permutation, genre of music, combinations of hits, anything you could imagine. There's a channel for that.
Well, yeah. That leads into my question. Speaking of genres, because Mark, you're so closely identified with the 80s. You have franchised the 80s, MTV jock, but then, you know, your 80s cruises and things like that. People think, my wife said, oh yeah, Mark Goodman, literally the one of the iconic figures of the 80s. But we're all the same age. Our music was the 70s. Our coming of age music was the 70s. Do you ever... Is there a conflict of soul and interest ever with what you're identified with and the music that you really love? And I'm just
let me answer that by asking about how many people you think hear this podcast? Because I don't, you know, if I say this, man, I don't want it to be like, you know, in the trades the next day.
I think you're safe.
People, potentially 1,000 and potentially 4.
All right. potentially,
besides us,
we're on the DB network, which has a large subscriber base on Roku.
Right.
So we don't get numbers of that. I think you're safe.
I'm kind of joking. You're absolutely right. It is at once the bane of my existence and the greatest thing ever that the 80s will not die. It's unfreaking believable. The cruise that we just did in March sold out and had been sold out since last year. The guys who run the company who do these cruises said to me, you know, we're looking at what's happening, and we're looking at sales and stuff. I said, we can do this cruise for another 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And that's the life expectancy of all of us.
Well, right. I'm hoping I get 10 in.
Yeah.
Hoping.
Well,
you know, when you go on these cruises?
The audience, the people who are signing up, are younger. They're getting a bit younger.
Oh, really?
Oh, they are. I was going to ask you whether or not it was a sad occasion to see everybody in their walker and their thing coming, walking the decks.
I would suggest something. Go on either thing. Go on the80scruise.com or go on thesandsrocks.com. That's the other 80s event that me and Alan do in November. And you look at what's going on. There ain't no walkers.
Okay, can I ask you, can I get a discount because I know you, like, or something like that? Because
No.
Okay,
so, Mark,
chances of me going one of those things really slight.
We'll move on, but I went on a cruise with my wife and kind of were the cruise age. Are you guys just, again, rock stars? I mean, I would imagine that these people get very excited about your presence on their cruise.
I mean,
they get to say they, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's for the cruise especially, that's the idea, is that we're all on the boat and you can bump into any of us, including the people who are performing, anywhere. And so, I mean, I've taken pictures with, this was the 8th 80s cruise, and I've taken pictures with the same people 8 times in many cases.
Does it get annoying when they bother you at the buffet?
I have to say, I don't go to the buffet.
Of course
because
not.
Because it's a little crazy up there. I actually really enjoy the audiences that we have for both. And there's some overlap between these two events, but they are, at the same time, they're very different. And in both, the cruise it's like a family. It sounds weird. No. But there's so many people that I see over and over again. And there's a bunch, like before I started doing either of these events, I was working with Rick Springfield. I did Rick Springfield getaways we just did the last one last year. So I was doing getaways with him for like, I don't know, 12 years or something. So there's a lot of people who did that, who I later saw on the cruise. And there's people who are cruisers who I see at the Sands in Cancun.
Yeah.
So, and I'm wondering how these people afford this.
I know. My brother and his wife are cruisers. They go 6 times a year.
I don't know how.
If you're a cruise person, you're a cruise person.
Yeah. Let's go back to radio. Or is it Sirius Consort? Is Sirius considered radio?
Oh, sure. It's satellite radio.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to Spotify. That's not radio.
No, it's not. No. Spotify is Spotify.
Well, I got to tell you, do you guys have radios? Who has a radio in their house?
Well, agreed. That's why the satellite radio is so much better, because you can listen to it in the car. You can listen to it when you're walking through the park. You can listen to it sitting at home.
I don't think I have grandchildren now. I don't think
congratulations. That's pretty freaking crazy.
Isn't it? I know. Apparently people are having sex with my kids. I had no idea this was wrong. Anyhow.
But we digress.
Well, I'm just saying, it's like, even like Pittman has his company is iHeartRadio.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't think his grandson knows what a radio is.
Well, despite what you may think or feel, mm-hmm. radio is still, at last check, which was, I don't know, within the last 6 to 8 to 10 months that I've seen work on it, radio is still the number one place where people consume music.
Yeah, which is amazing to me, because I've never heard anybody say, oh, where'd you hear that? And they go, oh, I heard it on the radio.
I think you're living in a little bit of a tunnel there, because radio, look, I was in advertising for the last 17 years when I left the business. Radio is still a reach medium. It's a huge reach medium. And the car alone is enough of a vehicle, no pun intended, to consume the radio.
It's true. Yeah,
car manufacturers are stopping putting radios in the car.
Well,
you just made that up.
No, I did not make that up. And
I know that they're backing off on AM. I know. And to counteract, we have a deal with every imaginable car manufacturer.
Yeah.
Sirius XM is in every car that you can possibly buy.
But they're getting it because it's a streaming service.
Right, off the satellite. It's not streaming like Spotify is streaming.
It's not broadcasting like radio, is my point.
Well, it depends. I mean, it is through the air.
I don't want to be I don't want to be the guy to let you know, but I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Radio, I wouldn't use that word. Listen, do you walk into your house and remember like the radio receiver at your house? Your stereo radio receiver, and you go, oh, let me turn on the radio.
I still have that. Music. I still have that.
Well, yeah.
But you still have that because you're whatever, but you don't need it.
Because what?
I wouldn't broadcast. I wouldn't use the newspaper anymore as my reach medium. But radio is still alive.
Okay, I'll concede that.
All I have in my car, I mean, I've got a radio. It's got the little knobs and everything. But Sirius is what I listen to because I have hundreds of channels.
Okay, I will concede.
That's a radio.
I get it. I concede. But I want to know, Mark, what or how many channel? What channel are you on?
I'm on two. I'm on, guess what? I'm on the 80s channel.
Uh-huh.
I know, you didn't see that coming.
No.
The 80s channel, and I'm on another channel called Classic Rewind, which the 80s channel is 8. Makes it easy. And the Classic Rewind, which is a rock channel. We break up the music channels into pop, rock, Latin, dance. So 80s is a pop channel, which means singles. Mm-hmm. There's another channel called, there's a channel called Alt Nation, which is a current channel, but First Wave is on channel 33. And First Wave is like classic MTV without Michael Jackson, without the R&B stuff. No Lionel Richie. We play Michael Jackson. We play on the 80s. Lionel Richie. But you don't get Lionel Richie in that on Classic Rewind, which is rock from loosely 1975-ish to 1990.
The other VJs are all have Sirius, except for Martha. She's on iHeartRadio, am I correct?
Yeah.
Alan has a show and Nina has a show.
Alan and I are on the same two channels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do mornings on 80s. He does afternoons. I do afternoons on Rewind. He does mornings.
Gotcha.
Hey, Mark, I want to give you an opportunity to get right into your new podcast, because I know that's good. Something that you're excited to talk about. Sound Up. I'm just going to throw the ball to you.
Yeah.
Tell us about Sound Up. We've been listening.
Thank you.
Tell us about the format, your co-host.
Sound Up is what we had been doing on Sirius XM. There was a channel for a little better than 6 years called Volume. Volume was a talk channel about music. And it's like sports talk or political talk, but music. Live hosted radio show. We were live most of the day. Morning show live. I did afternoons, 3 to 7, and I did that, or 4 to 7, and I did that with a guy named Alan Light. He is a journalist and an author. He wrote one of his books called Let's Go Crazy. He was involved with the Hallelujah documentary. It was out, I guess, a year or so ago, which was stunning. And he wrote a book on Hallelujah that the doc was based on. Anyway, he's an amazing journalist and a Yale graduate. And we loved working together. Our show on volume was called Debatable. The problem was that we agreed on everything. There was never any debate between us. It was between us and whoever we had on. So this show is basically that. The issue, as you guys probably know with podcasts, is we can't play any music.
Right.
That's we do two shows a week for Sound Up. The first one lands on Tuesday, and on that one, we'll do music news. We'll do, you know, 4, 5, 6 music news stories. We'll have a guest around a topic, whatever the topic might be. And the second show is called our Sound Up, Sound Off show.
Okay.
And we record on Wednesday evenings, about 5 or 6 East Coast time. And we started doing that because that's about when we were on the air. And we had a lot of people who there was a bunch of people who completely on their own formed this group called the Volume Maniacs. And we had nothing to do with it. And it really sort of happened during lockdown that these people we couldn't be live. We had to pre-record our shows for a big chunk of it. But then finally we got to a point where we could, from home, like right here where I am now, we could take phone calls and we could have guests on Zoom. These people, the Volume Maniacs, who are now listening to us on Sound Up, formed on their own. Like, they would do Wednesday night listening parties. And there's over 1,000 of them. And they're joining us. We do the software that we use is called Riverside. And so we have a virtual audience. Coming up on Friday. Let's see, what are we going to do on Friday? I forget what we're going to do on Friday. I know. It's International Guitar Month. So on Friday, what drops on Friday is going to be our audience show. So we ask them, who is today's guitar hero? Is there a guitar hero today?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I find very interesting about your show is you have really interesting guests. And look, a lot of these guests I didn't previously know. They're industry insiders. But then you always have a provocative subject. Like, I was listening to a show where you were talking about your feelings on when your favorite band or artist changes genres.
Yeah.
And a really interesting conversation comes from this. You could talk about this all day.
Yeah. The genre thing arose out of I went to see Madonna on her first night in the U.S. at the Brooklyn show, or sorry, the MSG show, whatever it was, the first show.
When was this?
A few months back.
Okay.
It's the show that two of the people who were at the show are suing her for. Why? Because she showed up on stage at 10 of 11.
2 hours after the ticket said,
it was
right?
Called, the show was called for 8:30.
Yeah.
And she had, what was her opening act? She had this DJ spinning, and then she had a sort of a drag queen come and sort of introduce her, and it was very loose. But the idea of the genres and more, it arose from Madonna's tour is called called the Celebration Tour, celebrating the songs that we know inside out, that we love so much, that we've heard over and over. And I said, don't you want, when you go to see an artist, you want them to do the fucking song like the record. Do it like the record. Don't improvise. Madonna was like all over the place and like, oh, I think that's Papa Don't. Oh, yeah, there's the chorus of Papa Don't Preach. So it was really annoying to me. So it arose from that artists sometimes just to keep themselves interested.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I've heard she's always been somebody. There's certain personalities is always this expectation that they're reinventing themselves. And she's reinvented herself so many times. And I think she needs to stop reinventing. She's past the time to
Well, I would agree. And when I go see Paul McCartney and he duplicates the music as I want to hear it, yeah, I am a satisfied ticket buyer.
Hell yeah. I feel the same way about Paul. It's amazing to see that guy. Mm-hmm. He can't hit the high notes the way that he used
to. No, not like he used to.
I don't care.
No one does. I kind of don't care. No one cares. It's like you've earned the right to whisper if that's what it is.
I haven't been to a concert for, well, the last concert I went to was with Mark at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh my God. They might be giants. Was that what it was?
Those two guys that were really strange.
Oh no, Sparks.
Sparks.
Sparks. Yeah. It was Sparks, and they might be giants. That was the double bill.
Wait, but are we talking 20 years ago?
A couple of years ago.
January?
Yeah. So, Mark, you still get the backstage pass, the VIP treatment. No. Mark Goodman shows up at a Madonna concert, and come on.
No.
It's got to be better than when I show up.
No, exactly the same. As a matter of fact, for Madonna, I bought tickets. And it was the shittiest seats I ever had. I mean, I paid, $150 for a ticket. So for me and my wife, $300 for seats that were basically not behind, but side of the stage. But and the backstage thing, I don't even ask for that stuff anymore for a couple of reasons. One, I don't care anymore.
You don't give a shit anymore.
I don't need
you've seen the M&Ms.
I don't have, even if I'm a huge fan, and maybe there's things I would say, it's too much. I'd rather go home. It's easier. Right. The other reason is, especially since COVID, there is no backstage. Everybody's terrified to get anybody on their crew or in the band to have them catch COVID. So backstage ain't what it used to be.
Well, speaking of what ain't what it used to be, which is where people find their music. Mm. And where do you find
radio?
Your music? They don't find nobody's come up to you who's ever in the past 10 years said, oh, I heard that on the radio. They haven't, Gary. So I'd like to talk to Mark,
move on.
Please. And I'd talk to Mark. And if not Mark, I'd like to speak to a supervisor, please. Okay. Mark, what are your sources for the music? I'll be honest with you, I apologize. Spotify Discover Weekly is where I go all the time. To look for music. That's what I have. That's what I listen to all the time. What do you do, Mark?
Spotify is one of the places that I go for new music. Okay. There's a site that I go to called Pause and Play. And that has new releases weekly. So Fridays, all the stuff that comes out on a Friday, they list a bunch of it. Obviously, it's not everything because there's thousands of releases every day. But I go to Spotify also. I go to Discover Weekly and some of the other playlists. But I go to other places because the thing that bugs me about Spotify, about their algorithm, is it just gives you more of what you know.
We've had this discussion and you are absolutely right. I'm getting upset. It feels like redundant. It's like, that's the same, type of show.
It sounds like the other shit that I'm listening to.
Sounds like, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, when I was doing volume, every day, 3 hours of live radio every day, I was doing a lot of research. We had guests and I had to be up on everything in the music business. And so I was going on Spotify and I was playing all kinds of stuff because on the show, we did country, we did rap, we did hip hop, we did rock, we did metal, we did everything. We had all of those people as guests. So I'm listening to all of that. And that really made my feed, much, much better. Since I'm not on volume anymore, it's a little different.
Mark, you started in radio, I mean, literally going back to the 70s, right?
1976.
You've been in music for all these years. 43 years knowing Kenny, for example. Are you still as excited about new artists and the culture of music as you've always been? Has that
Absolutely.
Changed?
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I got into radio is because I wasn't disciplined enough to teach myself to play an instrument. So I was too lazy. And I am all about new music. I am all about it.
That's me too. I know people that Gary, you'll listen to music from the past, right? You'll put on.
I do too.
I never do. I never.
I always do.
Loved all that, but I never put on, let's say, I don't know, a Bob Dylan album or
really
a Stone. I don't. Mm. I just to me.
Well,
it's,
do you,
I,
let me ask you this: yes, do you have albums?
Well, no, but I have access to the music like everybody else.
See, I got. I don't know if you can't see it from here, but I got out there in the living room. I have, you know, probably, I don't know, 2,000 albums and another 1,000 or so CDs.
Mark, you know what I'm pointing at in my office right over here?
A butcher
cover. I have
the Beatles butcher cover?
Yeah, see? Wow. Someone like Mark knows the value of a butcher cover. That's... Got it at a garage sale for 25 cents. It's pasted over.
I was just about to say, was the butcher block?
But you can see them coming through over the years. And I was told, do not peel that off.
Right.
Okay, so people come over for dinner, Gary. And you go to your record collection and you put on what music?
I put on Beatles.
You would do.
I do. I put on Beatles. I put on Old Stones.
What music would you do, people, for just background music? What would your source be?
Alexa. I have to whisper or she'll come on. I choose music, whatever genre that I want. You know, it could be 80s music. It could be Mozart.
Right.
It could be.
But Mark, I also have Ringo Starr's cigarette ashes in my office back here. He smoked a cigarette in my office at SNL, and I kept his ashes in a coffee cup, and I still have them over
That's
here.
That's really pathetic.
That's sick, isn't it?
He also has Cindy Lauper's dildo, which I think is bizarre.
I don't know.
Did you leave that in your office also?
Everybody comes over to see that.
Yeah.
I
forgot what we were talking about.
I know, but
I want to hear more about Mark's enthusiasm for music.
We'll get to Mark's enthusiasm in a minute. But here's a question I think is actually...
Let's talk about Kenny's enthusiasm.
Hey, I think this. We should get...
Fair enough.
Let's.
When there were all these genres of music, first there was rock and roll, right? And then in our time, I remember I was going to NYU, and then all of a sudden there was punk music, okay? Right. And then that genre came up. And then, I don't know, R&B was, you know, another shoot off of... That and then from R&B.
R&B was first.
Existed. R&B existed. Yeah. Right. But then there was like the Nirvana music, the grunge music.
Right.
And then, you know, you had rap music. This was another kind of thing that was happening. It's kind of like identifying these new music forms.
Yeah.
Are we doing that anymore?
Is there
a new music form out there that people? Oh wow, everybody's listening to this type of music.
Is there a new classification?
Yeah,
I don't know if you consider it a new classification, but there are a lot of variations in the Latin music area, and Latinos are huge right now, and people who are making Latin music.
Latin pop music.
I'm talking about.
But that just feels like people are more open to international music, which I think is great. Not necessarily that a new kind of form or expression.
Well, I think what you're looking for is, like, for example, like in, you know, the 90s into the 2000s, emo.
Right.
That was a thing.
Right.
You know, shoegaze. That was a thing.
Right.
So those are kind of offshoot genres of rock and roll.
Right.
Americana used to be called folk music. Now it's called Americana. Okay. That is something. And the weird thing that's happening now, or the interesting thing, is rock and roll, the most rockin' songs that are coming out now are from country artists. Zach Bryan is phenomenal. Phenomenal. I just saw Jason Isbell in the 400 unit. This guy, I've loved his songs and his lyrics. He's a genius with that. And I saw him play, and he is a shredder, man. He just rips that guitar.
Let me tell you something, Mark. Back in the day, I used to hate country music. And I would tell people I hated the twangy country music. And now I have a lot of country. I'm a big fan of country music.
Is it cyclical, or are all these things sort of going on simultaneously and one sort of rises to the top? And my observation is the fact that you know, my kids were sort of born during grunge, but now they are really going back to melodic pop. They've always loved the Beatles, but they love all the new variations that really have a melody that you can attach yourself to, and lyrical poetry. I don't know if I have a question in there, but it seems like it's always all of these things, whether it's country, rock, acid, punk, et cetera, are always going on. Somebody catches on a little bit, it rises to the top, and then
it kind of depends.
Billie Eilish.
I want to hear what Mark has to say.
Is Billie Eilish a genre? Her type of music? I mean, only because, you know, it's kind of.
She is.
Kids, I guess.
Alt.
It's just alt.
Alt. She is alt.
Because it's not like I find myself like humming to a Billie Eilish song or going, you know.
But it is.
Well, that's you. Kids are listening to you, man. There's plenty of other people, including me, who do.
Okay.
I mean, what Was I Made For? Was an insane, amazing song.
I agree. Yeah. That's amazing. I agree. I'm a big fan of Usher's voice, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there are certain artists that are very big that I couldn't necessarily say that, you know, I'm, you know, singing along.
Well, you're addressing something that is a current or a new-ish sort of development, and that is, and it's because of all of the places that people can access music. What is happening now is you'll have a song that is number one, and half of the country won't even know it, would never heard it. That would never have happened in the 60s, honestly, or the 70s, or the 80s, even.
Certainly
because,
not in the 80s.
You know, the radio, because radio, after we got established, first couple of few years, they followed us. So, but now, because there's so much, and because there's so many varied outlets. I mean, we just talked about Spotify, but I go to, and I mentioned that other place that I go to, Pause and Play, which is just, they don't play music there like Spotify. It's just a site to show you what's being released. But I go to Bandcamp. There's a ton of stuff on Bandcamp. And I go to sites like that, as does everybody. And
I know TikTok is a place where people are discovering music.
Sad but true. That pisses me off, because my daughter, you know, I think we've talked about this, Ken, that my daughter lives out there, and she wants to make it in music. She's a solo artist. She writes, she sings, she's done club gigs in the area and stuff. But she, through a series of things, we wound up getting her to be able to sit down with the CEO of Atlantic Records. She was able to play him in studio, play him three of her songs, and then went into the studio with this guy to work on a song. And then a little sort of, you know, a session after to discuss career. And what this guy, among many, many, many others, signed Bruno Mars. And he said to my daughter, if Bruno Mars walked in here tomorrow and he didn't have a million followers on TikTok, I would not sign him. And that's the status of music today for artists that are already established, artists that have record deals, are being pissed off because the label is saying, we're not going to like cut 10 seconds out of this single. We want to stick it on TikTok and we'll see how it does before we release it. That's crap.
It's also kind of true in not just music, almost in acting and stand-up comics as well.
Stand-up
comic.
Yeah,
it
seems like
to me. I don't understand that.
If you're looking for management or agent, the thing is, they'll ask you the same question to a comic. How many followers do you have on social media?
Huh.
Am I going to represent you? If you don't have 10,000 followers, you know, I'm not. But you can put yourself as a stand-up comedian, you can put yourself up on TikTok and see what happens. But if you don't develop a following, then the interest.
Well, let's talk about someone with 100 million followers. Mark, recently I was eviscerated by Swifties because I dared to say she's not really, I can't put her on the pantheon on Mount Rushmore yet of songwriters with Joni Mitchell and the Beatles, for example. And I got ripped a new one. Well, I decided to do a deeper dive than I had done into Taylor Swift. And I have to admit, she's a lot more clever than I gave her credit for. I'm curious what your take on the phenomenon of Taylor Swift would be.
I've been a fan of her since day one. I adore this woman. And she has only gotten better and better and better. I love Tears on My Guitar, one of her earliest singles. Country song, great.
Yeah.
But what she
talk about moving genres.
Exactly. And she
and her fans all come with her.
1989, that album freaked a lot of people out, but they all came with her. They all came with her. And obviously, clearly, she has built on that. She's the biggest star in the world.
In the world.
And I think that she's the way that her life is integrated into her songs, as it should be. You hope that people are writing from the heart. Those stories that she tells resonate with the people who adore her. They're real problems that people are going through at, you know, 21. When she was 21, she was going out with Jake Gyllenhaal. And she came up with a couple of amazing songs out of their breakup. And
I am a big fan. I didn't like Shake It Up, but I'm a very, very big fan. And
well, I thought that was a little formulaic. So we can only hope she breaks up with Travis Kelce. Imagine the music that'll come out of that.
But let me tell you something. I found myself...
Because she writes about her happiness.
I found myself liking a song from Justin Bieber. He did a song with...
He's a huge talent.
Which is phenomenal.
But yeah. I'm not into his thing. That's all. It's like, you know, on the cruise, this is like an older act, but it fits what we're talking about. On the cruise, before I went on this last cruise, I was talking to people about, you know, who was headlining and stuff. And I wasn't thrilled with the lineup initially. And I would be like, oh, God, Air Supply is on this cruise. I love Air Supply.
Yes,
so amazing. And that happened with so many of the bands that I was like, And what wound up happening is, well, now especially, there's a doc coming out on Air Supply. It's in the works right now.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
And in addition to that, what changed my opinion to some extent, I still don't like their songs. I get the bigness. I get the hits.
Yeah.
But I don't like their stuff. But at the last song, Sebastian Bach gets up on stage and sings with them. Sebastian Bach of Skid Row. A metal, you know, a glam metal dude with hair, you know, down to his elbow and a total balls out rocker dude who loves Air Supply. It's bizarre.
I love Air Supply.
But, you know, people.
On these cruises, just to touch that again, because people watching this may very well, you know, go to the. Where would they go to get involved with the cruise? Give us a website.
It's the80scruise.com.
The80scruise.com. In fairness,
I have to, because the next one coming up is The Sands, which used to be called 80s in the Sand, until we realized that there's plenty of artists that we'd like to have come who won't come to an event that has 80s in the title.
Oh, okay.
So he removed it from the guy who runs it, removed it from the title, and last year we got Pat Benatar as a headliner.
For the people who are interested, what's the production value like? Because I've been on a cruise. You go into the little club, yeah. And the local band is okay. Do you really get the symphonic sound of the band?
On the ships that I have been on, there's a couple of places where bands play. There's, you know, on this particular boat, the Royal Theater. So that holds, I want to say, somewhere around 3,000, maybe 2,500, something like that. I'm guessing, but it's big and it's a big stage. Bands generally don't, like, they're not bringing their pyrotechnics on board, and they're not, in many cases, they're not bringing their dancers, or if that's the case. It's somewhat scaled down, but yeah, you get, I mean, the sound is the sound. It's great. So there's that, the Royal Theater. Then there's another place called Studio B, which is a smaller venue, but that holds, I don't know, 1,500 people, something like that. And Debbie Gibson, who was on this last cruise, did a dance class.
Really?
In Studio B. And there were people like standing in the aisles and in front of the seats, you know, up on the side, who were trying to do the dance class with her. It's crazy. But so, yes, you get the full effect. And it's great.
I'll tell you, the cruises were probably the hardest hit of all of the, you know, pandemic shutdowns, especially because the ones that were left out at sea.
We were on what we called the death cruise. March of 2020, we were on a cruise. We were on the 80s cruise.
Oh, because what? Did anybody test positive?
We got on the boat, and this is, we left for Miami, and it was early on, you know, it's, we still were hearing stuff about it. And it was literally like the 29th of February-ish was where the cruise was beginning, right? And I got something to eat before we got on the boat. And I'm like, I'm holding up a beer. Hey, look, I got Corona. Right? And by the time we got off the boat, the world had changed. We didn't know, getting on the boat, what's social distancing? What's masks? What's wash your hands on? None of that. We got off, the world had changed. And we were happy that we were allowed to dock, because yes, we heard that there was a cruise ship that was out there for days. But yes, on Monday, on the Facebook page, we docked on a Sunday. On Monday on the Facebook page, there was like 20 people. Oh, I got COVID. Then the next day there was 100. Oh, I got COVID. So yeah, a lot of people got it afterwards.
But as soon as now that they're wide open, it's amazing to see how people are so anxious to get out. These cruises are booked.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there's a million of them. You know,
there's a million of them.
Did you see that giant boat? What's it called? The Icon?
Yes.
Icon of the Seas or something like that. But yeah, I want to be fair to the industry here, because people do watch and they might be curious about taking the cruise. I took a cruise. I was cleaner and doctors and had to prove that I was COVID free and my wife were checked. It was like going to a hospital in a sense. We felt safe.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And that's the state of cruising today.
No doubt.
Right?
No question about it. No question. It's not, I don't feel dangerous at all when we do cruises now.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not for everybody, because I just got back from the cruise, you know, I spoke about, which is I went to Istanbul in Greece.
See, now that's a completely different situation. Yeah. And look, I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of cruising. You know, I'm just not. I don't get seasick. That's not my issue, but it's just not my thing. I like the beach, but there's plenty of people who adore cruising, and that's fine. It is what it is. You know, we've got
there's some militants out there, and that they say one of the biggest polluters of the ocean.
Yes, but the cruise industry is recycling. They are turning that waste into organic.
I got no
fish
idea
food.
About that. I have no idea.
I mean, I'm sound like I have an investment.
Listen,
in the
I'm just
industry.
Trying to
I know
stir
that,
up. I'm just trying to stir up controversy. Here.
I know you are.
That's all.
Well,
I'm
speaking
trying
of
to
stirring
tell.
Up controversy, before it's time to say adieu. Okay, you worked with Kenny for a lot of years. Give me some shit. Come on, give me some shit. What was Kenny?
There's
like
a great
to work
story.
With?
There's a great story. He hated me. He wrote a book.
Oh, okay.
Called me
please.
An asshole.
Kenny was an asshole.
Did I call you an asshole in our book?
Yeah, in the book.
But I know why. I called you an asshole because you fucked me over with the Springsteen interview.
What?
You fucked me over with the Springsteen interview.
Exactly. That's exactly.
What did he do? What did he do?
So I'm on television, right? And Bruce Springsteen is going to do his first television interview. And Kenny comes up with the fucking idea. Why don't we just make this? Well, let's just focus on Bruce. You don't have to be on camera at all. Fuck you. I'll say it again. I love you. Fuck you.
You didn't have to call me an asshole in a book.
Well, I got more than I bargained for.
No, you know what you should have done? You just should have done said some anonymous asshole. but you had my name.
His name spelled
my
right?
My name spelled correctly.
The E before the I? All right. Well, that's what I was looking for.
No, but I will try. I mean, listen, the truth of the matter is that I was young and I made a mistake and I own up to that completely. So that was an absolute mistake. I've told that to Mark, and it is true. It was an error on my part.
And it's so far in the rear view, I don't give a crap. I love you, Kenny. I'm so glad that after all these years, we're still friends.
So after that.
No, well, you know what? That's a good point. It's not only us that is good friends, but it really is a true statement that I don't think there's anybody who was there from the original days of MTV that had a problem with anybody else. We're all very tight. We have reunions.
It's nice to hear.
All love each other. Since it is truly a family, and I'm so proud to be a part of it. It's really great.
The only person Lucky. I never got to know at all was Nina. I mean, I got to know you a little bit. I got to know Alan very well. We were great friends in New York. Got to
Nina,
know
Nina was
bit.
Always on the reclusive side. Very, very shy. Very shy. So she sort of, you know, she was out. We'd go to shows together. And like the five of us would go to shows together. But generally, she was in the background. She preferred the background.
Well, it was quite a phenomenon. So, Mark, Give us all the all your plugs. Sound up everything. Give us all the places to go to have the total Mark Goodman immersion.
Can he tell
experience.
A nice story about me?
Or is,
I will
is
say
anything?
Yes. I will say this. Kenny is the funniest director I ever
yeah,
worked
he is.
With.
Yes, he is. He
which,
is funny.
Which when we're shooting funny. At like 11 o'clock at night after we've been recording since 8 in the morning, to have a funny director is very helpful.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Say.
All right. I take
and it. You're a great director. I mean, flat
that's
out.
Right.
No,
yes,
no argument about that.
Yes,
that's
is.
Very nice. Thank you. Okay.
Give us the Mark Goodman wind up here. Give
so,
us all
so
of
the
things and all of the ways.
I'm so thrilled that you invited me onto this podcast because I was told that being on a podcast is the best way to promote a podcast.
Can we be
it
on
is.
Your podcast?
Because podcast,
yes.
Yeah. Well,
oh, yeah. No,
well,
okay. Oh, well, hey. If you do us, we
I can show all my Beatles shit. I have a left-handed Hofner bass.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You could have a, okay, never mind. Mark,
I can't
back
promise.
To you.
Can't promise.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. Brand new
I've
world
got
of
a
podcast.
Dildo signed by Cindy Lauper. No.
And you know what the other thing, Mark, is? You may be eligible now with your new podcast for the 1,000,000th person to now have a podcast.
Right. Dude, I can't believe I'm doing a podcast. I mean, all due respect to every podcaster on earth, including you guys.
Yes.
I don't understand the podcast. It has been, and we've been doing this since January, okay? It's brand new. For me, podcasts, shitty radio.
Well, you know what we do? We do the emphasis is not on the on our audio part. We do our emphasis for our YouTube.
Yeah, we like the visual. We like the visual aspect.
Yeah, that's really what we promote, the YouTube.
Is that
yeah.
why you're both
we think we're aging well. So, Mark, wrap it up. Give us every way to find Mark Goodman.
Sounduppod.com. Sounduppod.com. That's the website for our for the podcast. All the information you need is there. Connect@sounduppod.com is where you can email us. You can leave us voice messages. That's the place that you go if you want to be a part of our virtual audience. We record on Wednesday evenings.
Well, I'll tell you something that I just interject quickly. You know, I used to get my music news when we do MTV.
Yeah.
I don't get music news anymore because there's no billboard.
Sound
Those
up.
Don't
Sound
cover
up.
It.
Sound up is for you.
Well, you missed six years of incredible stuff on volume. We were all over everything in the business.
And but, all your shows?
So
80s, Sirius?
So I'm on the Big 80s on 8. That's where I started. That's where I'm going to die. I am there. And I'm on Classic Rewind. So 80s in the morning. I'm on 7 to 1 East Coast time, and then Classic Rewind in the afternoon. I'm on 3 to 7 East Coast time. That's channel 25, and those are the two that I do. Plus, whatever else comes up, you know. Sometimes there's this, that, or the other thing. I will say one more thing.
Yes, please.
Monday on, or sorry, Tuesday. This coming Tuesday. I'm not sure when this is.
Give it a date because we don't know when this will be on. So
okay.
Give a date.
What's this coming Tuesday? The whatever that date is.
16th.
I'll take that. 16th.
16th. Yeah. 16th.
This coming Tuesday, as part of International Guitar Month, which April is International Guitar Month. We just did it this morning. An amazing conversation with Pete Townsend. I mean,
wow, that's big. That's very
so cool.
Yeah.
I went last Thursday, I went to the opening of Tommy on Broadway.
It's back was it phenomenal? Because I've
was
seen
phenomenal.
Segments. I mean, the music
wow.
is. I mean,
the
obviously.
Music is the music. You know, yeah. It is the music hasn't changed. The band, you know, is what it is. I think, as I understand it, it's a bit different than the band was in the '93 production. But there was a gathering after the opening, and I went and talked to Pete there. He was on our volume show a number of times, so we had a great conversation with him about guitars and about him smashing guitars. I was like, he's the perfect guy to have on International Guitar Month. No one treated a guitar worse than Pete Townsend.
He said that he used to have to glue them back together for the next show before he could afford a lot of guitars.
I want people to tune in on Tuesday. Tuesday it drops, and he talks about that and about some other stuff too. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And I want to push people toward your book so that they can read that segment about Kenny.
Yeah.
And they can
wait, if you hang on a second, I can get you the page.
That would be, hey, what's the name of the book?
I think all you have to do.
I know it came onto my radar, Mark. What is the name of your book?
All you have to do is you search Asshole Ken Seisler, and it comes right up.
It does come right up. It does.
Right
with
up.
Pictures. Amazing.
All right.
Mark, the book is called VJ, The Adventures of MTV, The Unplugged Adventures of MTV's First Wave.
Very good.
You guys, you're the best.
DeMarc, again, thank you for your time. Thank you for your insight into the music industry and letting us know what you are up to, sir. Kenny, always good to see you.
Yes, always good to be seen. Hey, Mark, and, good to see you. Hopefully I'll see you in person soon and we can go to a concert together.
To our audience, thank you for watching and or listening to The Gary and Kenny Show. Our guest today was Mark Goodman. And we are on all of the popular podcast platforms. We are also on a YouTube channel, The Gary and Kenny Show. We'd love it if you gave us a thumbs up. And we are on streaming television on Roku called the DBTV Network. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
And I am also on antidepressants as well. I just wanted to make sure I got that in. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
So long.